my wilderness so that when you go home, you can discover your own. A wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, and inhospitable region where God has set up a place for you to thrive. I'm gonna say that again, because I know that most of us would want to be in a hospitable environment where everyone likes us and we don't have any issues and any struggles. But what I'm telling you is that you are at your best when you are at the wilderness where God has created a place for you to thrive. A wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, and inhospitable. It's corporate America. It's marriage when you've never seen it displayed for you before. It's entrepreneurship. It's an uncultivated, uninhabited. No one else has done it the way that you're going to do it, and that's why it's a wilderness. No one in the room looks like me, and that's how I know I'm in the wilderness. No one in my family thinks like me, but that's how I know I'm in the wilderness. It is an uncultivated.
He's a wonder in my
soul. Stay now, stay now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's gonna be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Douglas is on the airway.
From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, Luke's Gospel, the only Greek writer of the four Gospel writers. He writes to Theophilus, friend of God. Chapter 23 and verses 33. Chapter 23, verse 33 and 34. Thus says the Lord. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be executed with him, Jesus. And when they came to the place, which is called the Skull, Latin for Calvary, Hebrew Golgotha, there they crucified him, Jesus, and along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. May God bless the reader, hearer, and doer of his divine word. Read it now from the Amplified Bible. And the King James says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments, his clothes, and cast lots. As amen. That's verse 34, which we will take our thought from today. Then said Jesus, then prayed Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what talk to you for a few minutes on the thought, love in action. Love in action. You've heard me say more than once that love, that four-letter word, is a word of action. Few words in the New Testament more clearly and solemnly express the selflessness of Jesus' spirit than the superb utterances from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' words at Calvary were the most profound, profitable, penetrating, positive words to ever be spoken. The one quality that characterizes all true Christians, those who truly been born again, is that of love. The one element that separates the saint from the unsaved sinner, the godly from the ungodly, is that of love, agape love. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples, for you have love for one another. When one has the capacity to receive love, and the ability to give love, their lives and others around them lives will be changed. Love transforms the poor into the precious, the lonely into the lovely, the bitter into the sweet, the broken into the blessed, the worthless into the priceless. Love, as I keep saying, is an action word. Real love is always giving, sharing, forgiving, caring, seeking the best for others, not of oneself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave. That's love in action. Romans 5 and 8 say, for God demonstrated, proved his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. For us to fully understand the great meaning of Jesus' prayer at Calvary, we must first notice the text opens with the word then. Verse immediately preceding reads, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus was being flung into the depths of nagging agony. Then when Jesus had been taken from judgment to judgment hall, then when man stooped to the worst, then when he was dying the most humiliating shame for death, then the wicked hands of the creature had died to crucify the only begotten Son of the Creator. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have said, Father, get even with them. Luke said he could have called a legion of angels. He could have let loose a mighty thunderbolt of righteous wrath and destroyed them. But he responded in love. Father, forgive them. He could have spoken a word and those soldiers would have never been able to march again. Could have spoken a word and the one that was nailed his hand would have withered. But none of these responds was Jesus. Because in that suffering and excruciating pain, despised and rejected, nevertheless he cries to the Father, forgive them,
this verse is in the imperfect text, which means that Jesus prayed repeatedly for their forgiveness. It wasn't just a one-time request, but he kept on crying out to the Father, forgive them. As they nailed nails in his hands and spikes in his foot, he kept right on in spite of the pain, crying out to God, Father, forgive them. The cross was dropped in place between two criminals. He cried, Father, forgive them. You know he told us to pray for our enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And he demonstrated that love at Calvary. What he said, he did. Well, there's some lessons that we can glean from this text. And one is that he is fulfilling prophecy. Since our Lord and Savior is hanging and dying between two malefactors, common criminal Isaiah had already prophesied that our suffering Savior would be numbered with the transgressors, and that he bore the sins. Isaiah 53:12. He is also fulfilling his purpose for coming from heaven to earth. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to die in your place and in my place. Came to do that. Secondly, he's fulfilling the promise of forgiveness. For Hebrews 9:22 says that, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with love. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We must understand that Jesus' public ministry began with prayer at his baptism. And as he was praying, the heavens was open, and the Father cried out, this is my son and Lord, well pleased. It is his whole life, but saturated with prayer. Jesus' first and last words on the cross was a prayer for the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And into thy hands I commend my spirit. Prayer, forgiveness. Here Jesus matches words with action. In the words of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, one of the great tragedies of life is that men seldom bridge the gap between profession and practice, hearing and doing. On the one hand, we proudly profess certain highly noble principles, but on the other hand, we sadly practice the opposite of those principles. We talk about the crooked wall. How often our lives are characterized by high blood pressure, greed, and the meanest of deeds. But Jesus bridged the gap between profession and practice, between saying and doing. Never in history has there been a more powerful example of the consistency of word and deed as it was at Calvary. He practiced what he preached. And he preached what he practiced. He did what he said, and he said what he did. Have you ever forgiven others? Someone has said that forgiveness is the virtue we profess to believe but fail to practice. The word forgive is borrowed from the world of commerce and banking. It means to cancel a debt or pardon a loan. The word forgive contains two words. It contains the word for and the word give. To forgive is to cancel the debt of someone so that they never have to pay back to you the pain that they caused you. It's to give grace to someone that doesn't deserve it. That's what Jesus did at Calvary. He canceled our sin debt that we owe, and he didn't. He canceled the sin debt of all who had even rejected him. love and action. You have to really look at this text. That here Jesus is in the process of dying. And yet he prays for forgiveness for the one that have nailed him to the cross. One that have humiliated him. One that has spit in his face and slapped him, beat him unmercifully. But yet when he gets to Calvary, he says, Father, forgive them. One writer said that there had never been a prayer meeting recorded in the script till Jesus got to Calvary. Oh, they had heard cussing, they had heard crying, they had hollering, they had heard everything. But when Jesus got there, he transformed Calvary to a place of prayer. Place of forgiveness. Place of redemption. Place of regeneration. Jesus said himself, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. You know, sometimes I think we use that word friend carelessly. We have more associates than we do friends. Friends know how to love. Friends know how to forgive. Friends know how to share. Friends know how to give. Friends know how to care. Friends are there with you when nobody else will. I've experienced things in my life. And I found out in some of my deepest hurt who my friends were. I've had people to call that I never expected to hear from, to offer their help, to pray with me and for me. Those are friends. They may not call you every day, they may not knock on your door every day, but when you are down, they are there with you. Jesus here. The good shepherd laid his life down for you and I. Didn't he do it? That's love in action. Well, there is love, burdens become lighter. Duties become delightful. Friendship becomes stronger. Hearts become tender. Words become sweeter. Problems become solved. Attitudes become better. Commitment become deeper. Joy become fuller. When love is present. You got to understand, when love is present, God is present. For God is love. Love is the essence of God. His true nature. One writer said, the only problem that God has is he just can't stop loving us. No matter what, he just keeps right on loving us. Showing us how we ought to be to each other. Romans knew not what they did. They were ignorant that Jesus was the Son of God. As they were merely obeying the command of their ruler, the Jews knew Jesus was innocent. Even their leaders say, I see no fault in this just man. But they refused to accept him as the Messiah because he didn't act like the Messiah they were looking for. He was a Jew, but he didn't act like a Jew. He had his standards. He didn't go around trying to prove anything to anybody. He was who he was. He didn't fit into their mold. And that's the thing that we as people need to learn, not to allow people to fit us into their mold, to be what they think we ought to be, but be who you are. I've been to places and they say, you don't dress like a preacher. Well, how a preacher supposed to dress? How is he supposed to dress? You don't act like a preacher. Well, how's a preacher supposed to act? It's just something funny about you. Well, just me. It's who I am. I have no problem with suits, but that's not my favorite attire. Have no problem with that. Anybody want to wear a suit every day? Have at it. But that doesn't take in away who I am. Whether I got a suit on or a blue jean, I'm still God's child. Still his servant. Huh? That's what makes the difference. Be who you are. Jesus teaching and preaching went against that belief. Came to his own did not receive him. But yet at Calvary, he's crying out, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Here Jesus expressed the awareness of man's intellectual and spiritual blindness. They were not what they knew not what they was doing. They were not bad men, but they were blind men. They were blind in their trouble. What they needed was enlightenment. Since they rejected Jesus, they rejected the word. They had the script, but they didn't have the Savior. They knew what the word said, but they were not willing to practice what it said unless it fitted their mold. And you know you got folks in the church that way. If the word is on something that they got a problem with, they want to make the problem you. They got a problem with you. I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. I don't know what's in your envelope. Don't get upset with me, you open it up and it's a bill. It ain't for me. I'm just giving you what God has given me to give to you. And if you got a problem, he's the person you got to check out. Maybe he can help you. But they needed enlightenment. The men that cried, crucify him. But not blind, but not bad men, but they were blind men. They were spiritually blind. But at Calvary, Jesus shows us how to love. If you really want to know how to love, go to the script. He shows us right here in these little few verses how to love. First of all, you got to stay in the attitude of prayer. Didn't he tell us to pray for our enemy? Pray for those that despitefully use you. You got to stay focused in prayer rather than what the wrong somebody done to you. But pray for them. Only that, but you got to stay focused on your purpose. Pray for one another. Forgive one another. Love one another. That's love in action. Calvary, he was falsely accused by the priest. Bound by the guards, slapped up on his cheeks and beaten by his captors, despised by the Pharisees, hated by the Sadducees, betrayed by his friends, misunderstood by his family, but yet he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who are the them? Who are the them? You and I are the them. The Jewish leaders, Roman politicians, Parliament, the soldiers, the bystanders, world, look like, I'm coming to a close, but look like that man that was born black would have said something. Look at him. With clay and spittle, he anointed his eyes and told him to go wash, and he came back and said, look like he would have said something. Look at that woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years. Bible say the most she went to the doctor, the worst she got. Look like. Come on. Just look like. She just said something. Jairus, where is you? Your daughter was dead. Jesus brought her back alive. Look like. Look like. He would have just said. But nobody came to his aid. His disciples, they ran away. But Jesus says, anyway, even if they don't come to your aid level, Father, even to keep on lying on you, Father, even to keep on betraying you, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they do. They were out of their mind. They did not know. Ignorant of the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. They were looking for somebody to come and set up camp. Here. Take control. Take my money, the bondage of the Romans. That's what they were looking for. But he came to build his temple in us, in humanity. And we would change the things that needed to be changed through his power. Calvary. He died in your place, my place. He died. Didn't he do it? Laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my rose of shadow, my all in all, my shelter in a time of a storm, my bright and morning star, got up with all power, heaven and on earth. Calvary, holy God meets a sinful man and forgives him. At Calvary, a just God meets an unjust man, justifies him. At Calvary, a loving God meets a lonely man and comforts him. This day, you will be with me in paradise. At Calvary, a merciful God meets a miserable man and blesses him. At Calvary, a compassionate God meets a desperate man, delivers him. Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? At Calvary, he saved a wretch like me. At Calvary, he saved you. At Calvary, he made a difference in our lives. At Calvary, did he do it? Did he do it? All right. Never has love been so profound as at Calvary. If you really want to know how to love, read the script. It's there to encourage you and teach you how to do it. Jesus showed us with his life of 33 years, he showed us. I remember Reverend Joe Jackson telling a story of a storm that came to this man's farm, and he had a flock of geese, and he was trying to get them in the barn. And Moses said, shoot, try to get them in there. They go their own direction. He kept on trying to get them in for the storm. And finally, he decided to get down on all four and start talking like the geese. And they followed him into the barn. Jesus came down to get